we are talking about energy of a different sort when you take something that's that had been in one body and you transplant it into another.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes and no. And let me suggest that we think about this. And that is, we know, for example, that our brains are involved with our emotions and involved with our thoughts. I say involved with our emotions and our thoughts because I don't want us to come to the conclusion that the brain is creating our thoughts and emotions. In fact, we could talk about this later, but it's more like an antenna receiver for consciousness than it is actually a creator of consciousness. But if we therefore assume that everything that we're even conscious of, all of our personal history, is somehow involved with the energy and information of our anatomy and physiology, including our consciousness, then that energy and information is going to be literally stored also within every cell. And so therefore, you know, we can come to the prediction that that it's not just the, quote, brain that learns, but literally the storage of information and energy is occurring throughout the body. And therefore, an organ like the heart is a very brilliant system for retaining some of the essence of who we are.
So, but again, I think this is where it really gets really intriguing, though, because you're talking about, say, let's say the heart transplant. You're going to transplant a heart into somebody.
Right.
Okay, that heart is comprised of cells from the original body, but that heart, we think of it as being very, it's muscle tissue.
Exactly.
and it's some fat and it's some other things, and we transplant that into another person, and that when it's in the other person, it goes back to its primary function, which was to, you know, process blood, oxygenate blood throughout the body. That's its primary function. We don't think of it as having a software program loaded into it that carries over information from the donor.
That's correct. But that's because we don't really think about it very clearly. In a previous book that I wrote called The Living Energy Universe, I actually describe how the reason why, for example, the brain, quote, learns is because the brain neurons have what are called feedback loops. We call it a neural network. And what's interesting about this is that in order for a network to learn, the output of the network must feed back to the input of the network. And by the way, if you connect the feedback loop from the output to the input, the network will not learn. Now, what's interesting is that we can model that in a computer. That's where artificial intelligence comes in. And we have what's called neural network software. But there are no neurons in the brain. There are just these feedback loops and so on. And again, if you cut those loops, they don't learn. And so here's the big take-home message. Do neurons learn because they're neurons, or do they learn because their architecture is that they're created as a network with feedback loops? And it's a no-brainer, pun intended, meaning that the reason why the computer can learn the same way that the neurons learn is because what does the learning are the feedback loops in a network. Now, all organ systems are actually comprised of feedback networks because that's how systems work. All systems have feedback. Therefore, if feedback is what's actually involved with learning, then the heart's going to learn just like the brain's going to learn. It's not going to learn maybe as, quote, as well because it doesn't have as many feedback loops, but it's still got billions and billions of cells which are orchestrated. And therefore, simple logic takes you to the conclusion that the heart, which is in the center of the body that's receiving all these electrical and signals streaming through it from all the different organs, is going to integrate and orchestrate a significant subset of the essence of who we are.
Okay, but aren't there differences between the cells that comprise our brain matter and the cells that comprise our heart matter?
They are different, but what they share in common is that they're organized with complex feedback loops. And it's the feedback that allows the learning to take place. When an organ is transplanted, let's say their heart or heart and lungs, for example, you know, people have to take these immunosuppressant drugs because the body attempts to reject it. Now, here's what medicine typically assumes. They assume that what the body is doing is treating the DNA and of the new cells as foreign to the recipient's DNA, and so it's, quote, rejecting it. But what they don't entertain is the possibility that the body's not simply rejecting the anatomy or the biochemistry, but it's attempting to reject the energy and information that's stored within the cells. And that's where the psychology of cardiac transplant patients become really important, because the prediction would be, therefore, if people could learn to accept and embrace their hearts psychologically and energetically, they might actually be a reduced need for antisuppressant medication, because they're actually then allowing the integration of the energy and information of the heart with the rest of their body.
Is it like having two software programs running simultaneously?
Exactly. It's like two networks.
Well, and so that brings us to this idea somehow that the person, the recipient, could be changed by the personality traits or the characteristics or some of the other more ethereal aspects of the donor information that's in the heart.
Absolutely. And what's interesting also, you know, you talked about your idea about how if the brain is a receiver, then
right.
Receiver of information, then if part of the receiver is missing or is just turned off or the volume is turned down, it's not going to pick up the signal. One of the things that people often ask me about when we talk about the heart transplant research that I was involved with, how is it that only a small percentage of patients actually report personality changes that end up matching those of the donor? And I explained to people that a lot of people, their brains are literally turned off. They're literally repressing. They're shutting down awareness out of fear, out of lack of understanding, also some of the drugs they take. And so consequently, many people are not actually going to allow those signals to reach their consciousness.